This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Deuteronomy. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Deuteronomy as he teaches chapters 1 through 4.
In 1968, there was a movie out called Rosemary's Baby. Some of you might have remembered it. It was based on this concept. More recently, did you see the movie Michael starring John Travolta? John Travolta played a lust-filled angel whose main desire was to hit on beautiful women. I'm telling you, this stuff is demonic, and it's not too, what we see in the movies today is not too far from what we read about in our Bibles. Canaanite culture was up to its eyeballs in devilish and perverted practices. And that's why the killing of these Canaanite children may have been an act of God's mercy, especially when you realize the evil influences they were subjected to living in that wicked society. Well, verse 36 describes the extent of the victory. From You can't say it either, can you? Which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and from the city that is in the ravine as far as Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. Only you did not go near the land of the people of Ammon, anywhere along the river Jabbok or to the cities of the mountains or wherever the Lord our God had forbidden us. Notice with this victory over Sihon, Israel is gaining momentum. Chapter 3. Then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrea. Edrea was east of the Jordan River, southeast of the Sea of Galilee. In verse 2, Moses continues, "And the Lord said to me, 'Do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand.'" Could it be God saying that to you tonight? The thing that you're fearing, the thing that you're dreading, could it be that God is saying to you, don't fear that. I've already delivered them into your hand. I've already gone before you. I've already solved that problem. Why are you afraid? He said, "You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Og, king of Bashan, with all his people, and we attacked him until we had no survivors remaining, and we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from them, 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, and besides a great many rural towns. And we utterly destroyed them as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and the children of every city. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as booty for ourselves." Now, verses 8 through 10 outline the land that was taken in the victories over Sihon and Og. It was all territory east of the Jordan River. And notice the detail. This is a fascinating detail in verse 11. "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon?" I mean, he had a world-famous bed he slept on. "9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubit." King Og was one of the last of these remaining giants. We don't know how big he was, but if his bed is any indication, Og was a hog. Get a load of this bed. 9 cubits is 13.5 feet long. 4 cubits is 6 feet wide. King Og slept on a bed 13.5 feet long by 6 feet wide. You ready? Now that's a king-size bed. I've been waiting all night for that. Verses 12 through 20 recall the deal that Moses made with the 2.5 tribes that wanted to settle east of the Jordan River. Moses was concerned that some of those tribes would stay east of the river and leave their brothers to fight for the promised land by themselves. You remember Moses deeded the 2.5 tribes the land only after they had vowed to go with their brothers and fight. And so he marks out their boundaries here for these 2.5 tribes in the following verses. Skip down to verse 21. Moses says, "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, 'Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass.'" In other words, what had happened east of the Jordan will happen on the west bank if Israel continues to walk by faith. And Moses encourages his successor. He says, "You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you." If there's a theme tonight, boy, we need more faith and less fear, right? The key to victory is not necessarily more fight, but more faith. Verse 23, "Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, 'O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds?'" Now, what an amazing statement. This blows my mind. And from a man like Moses. Moses saw miracles we have a difficult time even imagining. You remember, Moses looks and there's a bush that burns but is not consumed. He throws down his rod and it turns into a snake, and then it eats up the other snakes that the Pharaoh had produced. Moses holds out his rod and the Nile River turns to blood. Darkness covers Egypt for 3 days at his command. The Red Sea splits in half. Food falls from heaven with the morning dew. Water pours from a rock once he strikes it. The ground opens up and swallows up all of the rebels. Can you imagine? I mean, this man saw miracles. Yet Moses says, "O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand." All that Moses saw, he knew, was just the beginning, just the tip of the iceberg. God was just getting started with his miracles. Boy, this is a good attitude to have. No matter what God's done in the past, it's just the beginning of what God wants to do, of the great things he wants to show. That's true of us. And remember, it was in the midst of one of those miracles that Moses forfeited his privilege of entering the promised land. You remember how he disobeyed God at the waters of Meribah? He blew his cool and he misrepresented God as being mad with the people. Now, on that day, God worked a miracle. God brought water from a rock. But in Moses' anger, he struck the rock when God told him to merely speak to the rock. And as a result of the leader misrepresenting God, God said that Moses would not be allowed to enter the promised land. Hey, when you stand up to represent God, it's serious business. Make sure you represent him appropriately. But Moses had gone a long way with these people. And I mean, now they're right there on the bank. After 40 years, they're almost there. They're getting close to their goal. He can taste the milk. He can smell the honey. I mean, "Oh, Lord, let me enter the land that I've longed for so long." And so in verse 25, Moses prays, "Let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, 'Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan.'" Misrepresenting God is serious business. God does answer half of Moses' prayer. He allows him to see the land, but he won't enter. And God sends Moses to Mount Pisgah. Pisgah was probably the mountain range east of the Dead Sea. Mount Nebo was its tallest peak. The mountain sits 2,600 feet above the Dead Sea, opposite where the Jordan River feeds into the Dead Sea. And then when you stand on the top, one day when we get over to Israel, we'll go to the top of Mount Pisgah. That would be fun. But the summit offers a panoramic view of the interior of Israel. In fact, they say from the top of Mount Pisgah, you can actually see the rooftops of Bethlehem and Jerusalem, you know, miles inland. So it's quite a place to be. Moses goes there. He's allowed to see the land. But God tells him in verse 28, But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. And so we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor, there near Mount Pisgah. In chapter 4, Moses encourages the second generation, and he establishes an important principle for us. He says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you." Notice this. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Don't add to, don't take away from God's word. Let the Bible speak for itself. You see, the human tendency is to either water down or to make something harder than God intended. The liberal waters it down. The legalist tries to beef it up and add to it. Both are wrong. Let the Word of God speak for itself. What God has said, He said. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything from it. He says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you." You remember Baal Peor was when Balaam led the Israelites into adultery and idolatry. It was a terrible moment. And in that judgment, 23,000 Hebrews fell afterwards. Verse 5, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" In other words, he's saying, this law that I'm giving you is special. It will set you apart. No other nation has anything like this law. You know, the law of Moses is the most advanced legal and moral code ever composed. Today, 3,500 years later, the ethical and legal framework of Western civilization rests on the foundation of the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments. It was brilliant. And thus, Israel had two characteristics that made it special among the nations, unique among the nations. It had access to God and instruction from God. And as a result, it was God's plan to use the Hebrews as a witness to the nation. Israel was to be God's lighthouse. But God tells them, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." I hope you hear that. It's difficult to grasp how Israel could have witnessed all these miracles that they witnessed. I mean, Israel received commandments that were written with the finger of God. How could they possibly forget these things? Yet they did. It's impossible to understand how they could forget these things so easily until you have kids. And you parents know that you can give your kids instructions 1 minute, make certain that they understand what you mean, and then 15 minutes later, they've developed an amazing case of Alzheimer's. You know that's true. "Mom, I forgot." One of the key words in the book of Deuteronomy is the word "remember." It appears 14 times in this book. This is why God spends these first four chapters of Deuteronomy retelling the story of Israel. For it is every generation's responsibility to remember God, His truths, and the lessons that He's taught previous generations. Did you get that? It's every generation's responsibility to remember. God goes to tremendous lengths to teach human beings lessons that they forget overnight. One of the primary reasons for the book of Deuteronomy is our responsibility to remember. A good memory is a key to discipleship. And not only do we need to remember God's statutes, Moses says, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. And if you don't know them yourself, guys, how can you teach them to your kids and your grandkids? Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. Notice what God is saying. He wants us teaching our kids the commandments that he wrote with his own hand. He wants you teaching your kids his top 10 list. The 10 commandments are the very thing that God says he wants us to teach our kids. And yet, sadly, we can't even hang them on the walls of our public school classrooms. Friday night, I was studying this passage. And at that moment, Nick walked into the room. And I decided to put my parenting to the test and to see how good I had been at teaching the Ten Commandments. And so I asked him, I said, son, can you name the Ten Commandments? I mean, if this is what God wants you to do with your kids, I figure, how am I doing? And so he started out and he got about 5 right off the bat. Then he got another 2. And he made it all the way to 9. We forgot the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I mean, I thought at midnight on a Friday night, 18 years old, senior in high school, get it 9 out of 10, I thought that was great. But let me dare you to go home tonight and ask your kids to name the 10 commandments. Let me do something else. Let me dare you to ask yourself if you know the 10 commandments. Hey, we need these non-negotiables in our lives. This is what 10 commandments are. They're non-negotiables. They're things we've settled in advance. We need the 10 commandments. This is what lays down an ethical foundation in a person's life. I love it that the Hudsons on their soccer team, before every soccer game, they say the Lord's Prayer. You ought to also say the 10 commandments. You know that. Okay, do the 10. Did the Lord's Prayer last season. You do the 10 commandments this season. Moses continues, take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form from the Lord when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. In other words, don't worship the creation instead of the Creator. God's glory is revealed in nature, but God's glory always transcends nature. And notice that expression that God uses in verse 19. Notice, he says, when you feel driven to worship. Remember what we talked about this morning? Human beings are worshipers by nature. God programs it into every human heart, the drive to worship something. For some people, the temptation is the sun, the moon, and the stars. For other people, it's the car, the house, and the starlet. But since we're physical creatures, we're prone to worship physical things. This is why God tells us to resist that urge to worship the creation, but instead worship the Creator. Verse 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt to be his people and inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Remember this danger. The danger is to forget. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. I mean, Moses is now speaking prophetically of Israel's future, of what will happen to her in the days and years and centuries to come. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you heard and lived? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? I mean, Israel was uniquely chosen by God. No other nation received such direct revelation. Even today, Israel holds a special place in the plan of God. And this should make us feel so special and so important, because Romans 11 teaches us that we have been grafted in to the blessings that God intended for Israel. That we too are children of Abraham, and we have become recipients of this very personal and intimate access to God and revelation from God. It's now been given to us in Christ Jesus. He says, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. Out of heaven, he let you hear his voice that he might instruct you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance as it is this day. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Notice the duration of God's promises to Israel. For how long? For all time. God isn't through with the Jews. They are still his special people for all time. In verses 41 through 43, Moses establishes three cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan. We talked about that in Numbers 35. And then the rest of the chapter summarizes Moses' brief history lesson here.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies. constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.